Then stuff you design. And let's go over back for the mission on Ted Simon a bit. So because we've got the charts as I promised, so we'll just go through it very quickly. So Elima Krovin, these are the considered the Krovin that Epsilon and Eidut as well, that the two close. Now I've numbered them all, so you can see on the chart, the black person is our individual of interest. So Aviv is his father. You can see that's he's a not descendant, opposite. What's opposite of descendant? Oh, his parent, let's put it that way. And Achiv, so brother, doesn't matter, shared brother, shared father, shared mother. Then it says Achot Aviv, sorry, Achi Aviv, so his uncle number three, or Achi Imo, so his uncle on the other side, or sorry, I'll just let him in. Achi Imo, or Bal Achoto, so up to number five, so his sister's husband, as you can see here, one, two, three, get to his cousin, or Bal Achot Aviv, so that's his father's sister, and the father's sister's husband, Bal Achot Aviv, like that. Then we keep going, or Bal Achot Imo, same thing, so his auntie, so his mother's sister's husband, so that's how we get numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Then we said, "O Bal Imo," so Bal Imo is his mother's husband over there, his stepfather. V'chamiv, so his father-in-law, that's his wife's father, as you can see there. Chamiv v'giso is his, well, that is his giso is number 10, so that is his brother-in-law, but by way of which is his wife's sister's husband, that's number 10. Then we're going to discuss that when we get to Gemara today. I glossed over it last year. So that would be his stepson. However, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Zu Mishnah Rabbi Kiva, Aval Mishnah Rishona, Dodo, Ben Dodo, Vachol Yosho. So here, what I'm showing the chart, the Gemara actually doesn't go into this that much, really go into this at all. But the way the Meiri explains it is we're graying out, as you can see, number 7, 8, and 10. Those are the three that's what the original Takana was, and Rabbi Kiva expanded it to include 7, 8, and 10. Okay, so I'm not going to go through exactly what. Oh, 7 is his maternal auntie's husband, 8 is his stepfather, and 10 is his gis. So those are the three that aren't regular, sure, but nonetheless, so initially they weren't a problem, and then they became a problem. And we said, karov, kasher, we explained that case as well. That if they were related through a marriage, like his son-in-law, but then the daughter passed away and there was Eidut after it, well, they're not considered related anymore, then it's fine. Kasher, Rabbi Yehuda says, depends. If he still has grandchildren, afilu meta bito, then it's still considered a karov, his son-in-law is still considered a karov. That was the Mishnah. Then the case we did in the Shir was, we ended the Shir, we'll go over it one more time. This is the Gemara. This is the first chart. So Eliyahu Makrovim. So this is Mekevin Achiv. Since we know that one's brother is a repussel, and once we have a brother, it is his. Also, we said Ubnei and the sons of the brother and the sons-in-law are also out of the picture. Why don't you so Achi Aviv? So if the orange ones are of our interest here. So Achi Aviv is in this direction. So his father's brother, Achi Aviv. But that relationship is no different to go from this individual's perspective. His brother's son. It's the same thing. And if the brother's already Asur, and we know B'nai and B'chatnei are also Asur, so why do I need to teach that case? Okay, why do I need to teach the case of one's uncle? Because I already know that relationship by the virtue of a brother being Asur and therefore and the children as well. So then it comes to add, Lomar B'no V'chotno Shelchatan. Now, I glossed over this, and so we ended this year last time, but if you remember the Mishnah, anything mentioned in the Mishnah also includes their sons and sons-in-law, but we see here the Chotno Shel Chatan as well. So that's why these blue ones, it's not just those two levels, but another generation down as well. So I'll just explain, this is in the Pnei Moshe, to teach V'ashmo Inan, this is the middle of Dibur on Machil, L'mor B'no V'Chotno Shel Chatan. It says, V'ashmino Nami Da'filu Chotno Shel Chatan Pasul. That even the chatan of the chatan, okay, so that is actually probably didn't draw that very well, but probably connected that line to here. But his son-in-law's son-in-law, put it that way, would be also considered asur. Now why? Because di chatan mamash, if the Mishnah when it says beno ochotno, means literally his own son-in-law, meaning this individual over here. Then you didn't need to say that. What's it give? What? So didn't chotno mamash shel achia av. Because a son-in-law and a son is no real difference because we say that the Baal Ki'ishto. So therefore, when it says Elachotno Shel Bano or Shel Chotno, so when the Mishnah says Chotno Ubano, it means the Chata that his son and, or actual real Lashon in the Mishnah to get it right, is I'll just get it to clear. Ubanayim, sorry. B'nei v'chatneim thus mean b'neim and the chatneim of b'neihem. So as you can see, it's like b'nei chatneim shel b'neihem, etc. V'chatneim shel chatneihem. Okay, so that's why we're including all these. What I'm sort of showing these are all these blue boxes, if you like. The blue boxes are the males that have been included. Now, but that is only once you ex you can only do this extension, if you like. Let's call it once. Let's put it that way. So therefore, it gives us the ability to, if we say, Achot Aviv, even though you would have learnt that anyway, then you'll be asur by virtue of, if you go the opposite direction, we'll be explained in this direction, that Achiv is asur and then Benot as well. The advantage of telling us explicitly that it's that one's uncle, so Achi Aviv is asur, is it lets us extend all these four boxes away around the, if you like, his uncle. Okay, that's an advantage. Next, Achi Aviv. Let's go to the next one. The Gemara says, Achi Aviv mikem natin Achi Aviv matzor chalamit ne'achi imo. Why, if I've said Achi Aviv, why do I need to also say Achi imo? Why do I need both these cases, Achi Aviv, which is this one over here? Why do I also need Achi imo? So lomar lacha bano v'chotno shel chatan. So once again, so the Gemara says, "Uparich, I'll show you korbanin. Uparich bekevin to taninan achi aviv, one's uncle. Lama lelamin achi imo. Da tarveya rishon besheni." And there's still, it's one generation to the second generation. It's like that one step away. So what difference does it mean? So lomar once again to teach you banov v'chonot to show the extensions on both parties. Okay, fine, on both sides. Next one, a bit of a gerusa change here. Says achi imo. Then take out mechayven datanina bal achoto, but it says achiyimol mitzorcha lamitne bal achoto. That's not bal, not bachol achot aviv. Lomar to teach you benova chot noshel chata. So what's the case here? There's a lot of gizah changes I just did. So let's have a look at the korbaneda. It says hachi pirshot. This one over here. Kevan achiyimol. So achiyimol. This is our individual here. Achiyimol is his uncle on his mother's side. So that's his mother, which is a circle, and that's his uncle. Achimo pasul, pasuli va'anilo. In other words, it goes in both directions. They're both pasul to each other. Va'ani, it says pasuli va'anilo she'ani ben achoto. Because what am I? I'm ben achoto. Ben achoto is, if you look at the, I go the other direction, from the uncle's perspective, our individual is the son of his sister. So both directions, yeah, fair. Ubeno, it says. So lamani tamina mitni balachoto. Why do I need to any more say balachoto? Balachoto is the one marked in purple. And not why do I need to teach that case? Why do I need to teach the case that hu ubeno shu ben achoto? Why do I need to teach the case that not only him but also his son as well? Again, so let's go, work it through here, which is very similar to the first case, I think. That we've just said. It goes, it's asur in, we're saying that one's mother's brother, his maternal uncle, is considered asur. But that's not necessary. Why? Because we already know that what? Lamidul So once, sorry, once I know, why do I need to teach that? Why do I need to teach balachoto? Because balachoto meaning not the case of balachoto, that his sons are asur, because that's effectively the same case. Because balachoto's sons is really the same case. But once again, it's lomar to teach you the af benova chotno shel chatan. Shall achi imo? It's to teach you back the other way that even let's continue the branches down, much like we created all these branches over here, would apply to achi imo as well. That would be pasul. Okay, next case, bal achot aviv. So let's move the chart down. So bal achot aviv. So we've got our individual here. Achot aviv is this one, and the bal achot aviv is the one to the right. So bal, the husband, because the dotted line of the achot, the sister of his father. Yafet, it goes like that. Okay. Now the Gemara now says, "Balachot aviv, mikevanim balachot aviv, matzoch lamin balachot imo." Why do I, if I've got that case, why do I need the balachot imo? So go to his mother's sister's husband. Yafeh, over there. Why? De kavash shaminan de balachot aviv de bal ki ishto. We already know the case of Balachot Aviv because Baal is Keishto. Vahatu Lamali, why do I need to say the case? In other words, if I've got these cases over here, the ones above our chart to the right, and we know Baal Keishto, why do I need to say Balachot Aviv anymore? So Mashni, to teach you once again, dechatan dechotno shel balachoto aviv nami pasul. So once again, it's to teach us again, we can create branches down this line, if you like, from the balachot aviv. Okay? Now, the next case. So all these cases, what the whole point you've seen, the pattern we're doing here is showing that multiple cases of the Mishnah could be derived from other cases by virtue of applying the extension, but the conclusion is no, because that gives us a starting point to create further extensions. That's effectively the pattern we're doing in the Mishnah, except for this case. Now it says, again, it gives a change. Bal achoto. Let's go down, next page. Bal achoto is, well, this is our individual. Bal achoto is, that's his sister, and that's her husband. Okay? Bal achoto. It says about the Gemara says, "Va'atanin and chor go levado." Now, chor go levado is his son-in-law without any extensions whatsoever. Okay, the Gemara says, "Rav Amar im chatan achoto, no chamoto, chatan achoto is asur, bal chorgato lo kol sheken." So I'll really need to explain this through the Korbanot. Different Mafarshim explain it differently. So Hachi Pirusho, "Kesalta de b'nei v'chat nehem d'tnabamatniti." So the Havamir at this stage is that the B'nai V'chatneim, it seems to imply that it is of the sister's husband. Now, sister's husband is from a different wife. And therefore, it's his sister's son in stepson or stepson and stepson-in-law. Because, in other words, not just her stepson, but also a stepdaughter's husband, and it expands and goes even more. But we said in our Mishnah that what? V'kashalei im chorgo shel achoto psulo, then psulo, kol sheken baal v'chorgo psulim. So therefore, it wouldn't just be chorgato on its own. You'd expect it to go even further. So the Gemara says, no, we're not dealing with the daughter's son-in-law or daughter-in-law's husband, but rather, hachi pirusho, the Gemara says, tiftar b'nei v'chatnei memena, that it's not his sister's son-in-law or daughter-in-law's husband, but rather we're just talking about the sister's son directly. And we're not talking about the sister's sons-in-law at all. Rather, we're talking about her direct descendants, and therefore, sorry, sons-in-law, he's not talking about her, sorry again, we're not talking about his sister's stepson or stepdaughter's husband, but rather we're talking about her direct children, and therefore, when the Mishnah is talking about chorgo, that's the first instance of a stepchild. And that's why it's limited only to the stepchild. Okay, there are lots of perishim on that piece, but that's what we're going to discuss. That's beyond our scope. It's hard enough to understand what we're dealing with one explanation. Next, Giso is as we said, this case. I'm just showing the chart at the top. Giso is one's brother-in-law, which is the case over here, number 10, if you remember in our chart, which is his wife's sister's husband. That's Gisa. Back to our charts. I think we're up to here. Okay, let's continue. The Gemara says, "Itani tani yesh lo banim v'chatanim ein lo banim v'chatanim." So, in other words, do we extend that case or not? Hachi Perosh, look at Rashi, look at the Korban Eda. He says, "Ikabraita tani ba Giso." That we do the extension of his children and his sons-in-law. Vika Breit, when another Breit says the Tani ba Giso, only the Giso. So how do we understand it? So Gemara continues. Ma da amar yesh lo banim v'chatneihem. That's mimena. That's where we're talking about that it's his sister-in-law's direct children. Uma da amar ein lo banim v'chatneihem. That's when this brother-in-law over here is. The brother-in-law via marriage, meaning it's his sister, it's his wife's sister's husband, it's his children and the chatneim from a completely different marriage. You know, that's too remote, and therefore they're not included. Okay, that's straight. Next, Rav Nafik lemeitra mashkin. He went to stretch out orot. hides for cloth. The Reb Chiya Rabba, Avar Bechad Atar, went past of Eshkach Reb Yochanan. He found Reb Yochanan Yativ was sitting on Makshi, had the Kasha. Chorgo Levado. However, we know a choreg. We said a choreg is one's, this is the case over here, one's wife's son, so his stepson. The Mishnah says Chorgo Levado. It's only him with no extensions. The question is, well, what about Eshet Chorgo? What about, can he testify about his stepson's wife? Or Mahu, or Esh, so Eshet Chorgo Mahu, Bal Chorgato Mahu, or that his stepdaughter's husband. Do, when we say Chorgo Levado, is it absolutely literally only Chorgo in terms of his step in his in terms of his wife's family, his pasul eidot for, completely exclusive? Or was it excluding the Chorgo's son and his chatanim and his son and his sons-in-law, but not excluding these cases here? For example, the stepson's wife or his stepdaughter's husband. So the Gemara says, Isha kebaala u baal keishto. That we say, no. In a marriage, the wife is like the husband like the wife. So in other words, if the stepson is pasul eidos, then also this, he can't make it testify about his stepson's wife. And similarly, his stepdaughter and her husband, because her husband, the stepson, so it's like his stepson-in-law, would be considered like his stepdaughter and then pasul eidos for that as well. The kamti ish chorgo kachorgo or baal kiisha. Yeah, fair. Now, Rav Chisda by dor shlishi mau mutar be'eshet rishon. Now, we've just extended by saying baal kiishto, that they're considered one and the same. But how far do we take that? So, do we say, for example, dor shlishi dor rishon? For example, Moshe mau ye mutar be'eshet Pinchas. So, Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we've got to go down, which is brothers, three generations down. So, Aaron. Pinchas was a grandson there, and Aaron. Do we say that it extends outwards to the right as well? In other words, not to the right, but also would include his brother's grandson's wife. Is also, in other words, do we say Baal Ki Ishto, so, or Ishto Kabbalah in that case, going that far as well? So Reish Lakish Amar Mekadlim Dor Sheni VeDor Shlishi Midochak. It seems to be bidyeved. But Rabbi Yochanan says Afilu Merevach Yudivantu Lechatchila, in terms of that. Now, what is it? It seems to be here, the way the different parts explain this, that Dor Sheni V'Shlishi means a second generation to third generation with a marriage. But our case is a third generation to first generation, not to second. So if, since it seems to be that the Machlokes only going third to second, and not third to first, must mean third to first would be a problem. Okay, next. Kahada, Kahada Agise. Now, this Kahada, the way the Pnei Moshe explains it, which way the Lashari Korban ultimately explains it as well, so we'll explain it like that now. He says, we're talking about the case of Karov v'Nitrachek. Karov v'Nitrachek, for the Mishnah, for example, one son-in-law is Pasul Eidah, but what if then his daughter dies, so they're not technically related anymore? Is it still, does the Pasul Eidah endure? And we've said that it doesn't. Rabbi Yehuda added, however, if there are grandchildren, it would endure. So let's have a look. The Gis of Rav Huna. Havalei dinim echad barnash. He had a din Torah with an individual. Amar kol mad Rabbi Rav Huna amar ana mekabelet. Whatever Rav Huna says, I'm a kabel. Shama Rav Huna, v'amar kahadin. He says, yep, indeed, this is a situation where I can, because it's a case of where he was nitrachek. Meaning yadinan keshem she'amru milamalach kach amru. So I'll just read the Pnei Moshe because we're explaining this piece like the Moshe. My koloma pshita hu keshem she'amru din ze bedor shehu kugon shemeta beno, like in this situation, da bahachi airi matni da palig Rabbi Yehuda v'amar filu meta bito. Also amador milamala shehu chot no. Also going the other direction as well, down or up. Svirle de tana kama de kasha. Here's his son-in-law. It's ve'imken. Vadai kachamru bedor milamata betray gisei. So since we say in that situation, dor milamala, meaning in this case of a father-in-law, son-in-law that are no longer related by the fact that his daughter passed away, vade kachamru, this interesting pshat Pnei Moshe says, but dor milamata, what if there are two brothers-in-law? They're gisim in the way, technical way, meaning they are related by simply their wives or sisters. And umeta ishto shel, the sister, one of these sisters passed away. Then this is also going to be a case of a karov v'nitrachek, and it would also be kasher. Okay, that would be also a case. So brother, and then these two gisim, like technical gisim, not commonly spoken gisim, meaning they have to share this, their wives or sisters. That will be another case if one of the sisters passed away, there's korov in derchek, and to be able to be an eid. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Rav Yirmiyah says b'shem Rav halach k'Rav Yehuda, which is what? That if that we said korov in derchek, it wouldn't be considered in derchek. Again, one's son-in-law, who's and then the wife and his daughter passed away. If there are grandchildren, they had grandchildren together, and those children are still grandchildren still around, then the psul later would continue. Okay, let's continue now with the Gemara. Ohev v'soneh. Hove soneh is another opinion that they are also going to be considered a psula edo. So ezel hove soneh. What's an ohev? Zeh shushvino. That is, if you remember, that was during the simcha, during the wedding, they would provide gifts for one another. We talked about shushvino before. Vasoneh koshen obeyem moshe shomim ba'eva. That's if that someone doesn't speak to somebody else for 3 days, not because they haven't caught up in time, but because of some sort of animosity. So Amar Lo, however, the Chachamim said back to him, meaning Rav Yehuda, Lo nichshadu Yisrael al kach, Am Yisrael not concerned. Oev v'soneh, they're not considered psula edo. Okay, the Gemara says, what's oev v'soneh? Rav Tavlai, Rav Avinah says, b'shem Rav, b'shivat yamei hamishtashanu. We're talking about here, during the, not just the wedding day, but the whole Sheva Brachas as well. Okay, next. Halacha. Ketzav when Eden, how did they check the Edim? Hayim nachsinot on ba'aminan aleihem. They would bring the Edim in, and they would now scare them. I have to explain what that means. Umotzinotan and take them out lechutz. Meshraim et hagadol shebenim. The gadol of the two would be left behind. V'omilo emer heyach ata yodea b'shezeh chayav lezeh. How do you explain? How do you know what you know? Im amar li she'ani chayav. If he says, look, he told me he owes him. Or ish plenty, I heard from someone else that he said he owes him. Amar li shu chayav lo. That's not considered eidot. That's not klo. Because, by the way, sometimes what can happen, the claim can be, oh, I told you I owed him money because I didn't want to present my financial position different to what it is in reality. Okay, it doesn't mean that I really owed him money. Until he says, b'faneinu, in front of us, he admitted, seemed to be, we have to understand how that works, but the Gemara is going to explain in a minute. Okay, it says, hodalo. Sorry, the Mishnah says that both of them were in front of us, meaning the Balei Dinim. In other words, since unless Reuven admitted to Shimon the owed money in the presence of those two individuals, all that would be considered like he wanted them to be there, like as Edim, and therefore it would be considered a acceptable testimony. However, the Gemara says, "Ketzav b'ninotam." Rav Yossi says, "B'shemam im hayam mitkaven imsolo edut edut kayemet." So the way the Korban Ed explains here, he says that if someone says to another person, without the other Baldin being there, so Reuven says, I owe Shimon money, and Shimon's not even there, but he's saying it to these individuals, saying, look, I want you to act as witnesses in this context, well, that's different now. If he's explicitly saying, I want you to act as a witness, then, well, they're now can witness this. It's only if they were just in the course of a conversation, said, oh, yeah, by the way, I owe a gazillion to him and a gazillion to him. That's nothing unless they're understood the context as being actual formal witnesses. Okay, let's continue. Gemara says, so Ketzadanin, how they judged. Hadayin Yoshvim, the Dainim Sid, and Inurim Obdim, and the individuals, the parties have to stand. Vatovea Poteach Bedvarav Rishon, and the person, the claimant, has to. He opens first. Shinemar mi balarim yigash alehem. That whoever is the balarim, he should approach you. So this is before. This is the instruction Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Sinai. It says he was giving it to Aaron Achor. It says uinai shamotzim bechaber al araya. How do we know that if the burden proof is on the person who wants to extract the funds from the other party? So Rav Krispa says b'shem Rav Chananya ben Gamliel. Yigash alehem. What's yigash alehem? Not just approach. Yagish reyotav. He has to present the proofs. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Bai, Biyavama, Min Maradef Achar Mi. So this is the discussion regarding who has to go to who. So here we're speaking specifically about Yavama, meaning let's say the Yavam lives in one town and the Yavama lives in another. Who has to go to who? And it says, that Mir Achar Mi, so Heiti Rav Elazar, V'haktiv, it says, V'ata Yavam to Ashara, that the Yavama goes to the gate. So you see, the Yavama has to go to the Yavama. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Yafei Lamtani, Rabbi Elazar. He learned it well. Now, Rabbi Rachel Rachel says, Rabba says, B'shem Rabbi Yanai, HaToveya Toveya, Toveya does his claiming, VaNitva Meshiv, and the Nitva, the person who's claimed against, can respond, and a Dayan Machriya. Now, That sounds like you're telling a story of the obvious. So here the Corbanite explains as follows. Hatovea tovea, meaning he has to claim it himself. That's coming to ati la fuke, it's coming to exclude that it shouldn't be done via Meturgama, meaning he presents it directly. That's hatovea tovea directly. Okay? And then and it says and the point is that when it says v'hadayanim machri, it says it just simply gives judgment. However, Rav Sima says no, that's not correct. That the judges before they give their judgment has to repeat the claims of each party. Okay, so the reason is the Korban says. So that people would suspect that the Dayanim didn't want to give enough attention or didn't give enough attention to understanding the claims properly. So therefore, it's important that Dayanim, before they give the judgment, would stand and say, okay, you presented your position like this. These are all your things, fantastic, and this is what you're saying. Okay, now we can pass a judgment. Okay, now, why? Shenemar, it says, Amelech, this is talking about Shlomo Melech, the famous case. This is where he said, oh, this woman has made this claim, and this is where they're contesting whose child was the one that died and whose child the one that was alive. The famous story of Shlomo Melech. If he saw, Rav Huna, if he saw two witnesses that almost had exactly the same wording, exactly the same presentation of their test of what they saw, he would start getting suspicious that maybe this is staged, and havei chakar. He would ask further questions and interrogate them more chakirut, even further to see if they're like it's kind of a little bit too similar. It might be a little bit rehearsed. If, however, they were saying the same thing but presented in a different way, then he would be satisfied. He wouldn't have to go to interrogate even further. Okay, Rav Huna meikel ladayana. He would curse a dayan dava mekablim aleichem chad sahadeh. That would say as follows. Now, the way the Korban explains this, the first way he says, he would curse a dayan she'omer la balei din. Let's say there was one witness, and he says, do you accept one witness? In other words, you can accept one witness to be satisfactory if you like, and not mechayev, like, and the party will accept it. You know, normally one witness is mechayev shvua. Says, she'ein the dayan shouldn't be the one to volunteer this statement, if you like, or this possibility, because that gives the impression that in general, if the dynamic on the front foot with this type of matter, it makes it sound like an edechad is sufficient. That's why they're presenting it. Meaning they can come to that conclusion if they like, or that suggestion, but it shouldn't be something that's a formal presentation in Beit Din. Next. As we said, so Rav Huna kar hava yada zachu lebarnash bedina v'lo yada lei havi patach lei al shem patach pich al eren. Now, what this means is when Rav Huna, if he was a dayan and he saw that the din was with one person, he could see it, and it was quite clear, but the person didn't know how to present it properly. He would, it sounds to be, he would ask leading questions or make statements through which the person could learn how he was meant to say it. So I'll just explain. This is interesting because you think you're not allowed to help any party. But I'll just read the Korbanator says, he started going in that direction. So the person could clarify what he was saying. Okay? And he'd rely on the pasuk of you can open the mouth of a mute. It's talking about someone who can't speak. Who can make a mute person speak? Someone who's not know how to express or present his presentation. So in other words, it's not that he's like refining the individual's like ta'anot to distort it to his advantage. It's just he knows the dins with this individual, and he's just like helping him along that. You know, did you bring your documents? Did you bring the so and so? Oh, yes, I did hit so like you know, that type of stuff. So then when he can, I think along those lines. Okay, so Rav Aval says, Hamechamin, let's say someone hides some witnesses behind a tree or something, and he speaks to the individual and says, oh, do you owe me money? He said, yeah, of course I owe you money. And the witnesses go, fantastic, come out, the trees will take you to Beit Din. That is absolutely nothing. Lo asa lo klum, it's meaningless because once again. The person in Noshiach, that's not a true admission. He can simply say, I was playing with you, right? It's not, it can't be accepted as being serious. Now, this is an interesting case. Gahada Barnash, this individual, he was invited, says the Koran says, to a Suda. Goriston, in the middle of the Suda, Amarle, he said, Havli madat, thank you for coming to my party. He gets up and he says, it's time for you to pay me back the money you owe me. So Amarle, okay, he said, fine, I'll sort it out. Bata de Kamun, after got Amarle, well, Amarle, he said to him, I don't owe you a thing. So Amarle, one second, what are you talking about, Hermes? In the middle of a party, you got up and you said, I'm going to pay you. So Amarle, lo amrit ella begin deloy gusatech. I didn't want to start a fight in the middle of a meal. Everyone's enjoying themselves, so I just said, yeah, I'll pay you. That doesn't mean I owe you anything. So Atakami Rav Ami came for Ami Umar Hada Dmar Rav Yochanan Mechami Meidav Achareya Gedolah Asa, and he applied this exact principle. Meaning, as we said, just as with the Edim that are hiding behind bushes is not considered a, you can't rely on those witnesses to be a formal testimony, so too here, the way he entrapped him, despite the fact he was aware of the so-called Edim being around, that's still convenient. It's like entrapped to an admission that is not really considered a formal proper testimony. And therefore, the fact he got up in the middle of Suda and said, yeah, okay, I'll fine, I'll pay you back, it's not admissible in Beit Din. It's considered not. Okay, said Kotov.